Hello, you are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. I'm Zachary Zonizer, and this is my second part on a five-part segment on America's involvement in World War I. Today we will be talking about the Battle of Cantigny, and this will probably be the only specific battle that we talk about. Not because it was the most important or the most dramatic, but it was definitely the battle that really secured America's place alongside the Allies. It was the first battle that really raised morale for the Allies and showed that the Americans were going to be a valuable asset in the war. Although the Allies entered the war formally in April of 1917, they really weren't prepared to send significant numbers of troops into battle until a full year had gone by. We have to remember that there wasn't really a good system for sending large amounts of troops over the ocean, and once they were there, then outfitting them and preparing them for a type of war they had not seen before. We were prepared enough by May of 1918, however, to send a large number of American troops over to France just in time to face the onslaught of the German spring offensive. To set the stage just a little bit, the French had just suffered a fairly decisive defeat and were probably dragging their heels just a bit. For this reason, French troops took a step back and decided to be more of a supplemental force to the Americans, who were going to provide the main fighting force for this attempted recapturing of the town of Cantigny. There was about one full brigade of American troops here. That's about 4,000 soldiers or thereabout. And while the Americans did have the manpower, they didn't have a lot of the armory that was needed. So the French did provide air cover and about 368 heavy artillery pieces, as well as trench mortars, tanks, and flamethrowers. Before the U.S. advance began, the French did shell the town for about 2 hours and prepared flamethrower teams to support the Americans. Those flamethrower teams in particular proved actually especially useful in this particular battle, cutting off lines of escape and also making digging in to fortified positions much more difficult. When the Americans did finally push through and started making their advance, they actually captured the village very quickly. They took it in about 30 minutes when all was said and done, and captured about 100 German prisoners at the end of the day. This was, of course, a huge morale boost for the American troops and also the French, who had just suffered a fairly significant defeat. Upon hearing about the victory in Cantigny, the commander-in-chief of the American Expeditionary Force, General John J. Pershing, gave the order that not a single inch of Cantigny was to be surrendered, and over the next 72 hours, the Americans in Cantigny endured 7 German counterattacks, managing to maintain control of the village despite high casualties, with 200 soldiers killed and another 200 incapacitated by German gas attacks. As a somewhat interesting aside, actually, during the first major counterattack, a company of the 1st Battalion of the 26th Infantry, commanded by none other than Major General Theodore Roosevelt Jr., was used to reinforce a weak spot in the American line. Of course, Theodore Roosevelt Jr. would go on to land on Utah Beach in World War II and eventually be awarded the Medal of Honor. In taking this village, the Americans expanded their front by approximately a mile, and while that is a minor success, it did wonders in proving what the Americans could actually do. This was the first major U.S. victory in World War I. The capture of Cantigny actually ended up having about 3 major points of impact on the war effort throughout the remainder of the war. First, it deprived the Germans of what was really an important observation point on the Western Front. It also lent a lot of weight to Pershing's argument that the U.S. command should be independent and we should allow the U.S. soldiers to work with their own commanders as they had trained. And like I've been saying from the beginning, it really proved that the Americans could hold their own in this war, even though they hadn't seen much of the battlefield and they hadn't even really gotten their feet secure on the ground quite yet. They were not a force to be taken lightly. If you're interested and you ever happen to be in Wheaton, Illinois, they actually have an excellent exhibit about the Battle of Cantigny at the 1st Division Museum, including some of the trucks that were actually used in World War I. Well, that has been a very brief overview of the Battle of Cantigny. Remember, if you like these little history segments that I do, you can find them online. Just go to kggfradio.com, click on the Community tab, and go down to On Demand. There you'll find a history segment section. There you can find topics all the way from the Marquise de Lafayette all the way down to the Korean War. Once again, this has been the second part of our five-part series of America's involvement in World War I. You can find the first part online at that website I just mentioned. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.